Chelsea Perspective is the only channel that you will need for Chelsea FC content. Scout report, player analysis, and match previews and reviews. What more could you want? The perfect blend of knowledge, passion, humour, and football content from fans and experts of the beautiful game. Tune in weekly as host Coachella is joined by many special guests to discuss the champions of Europe and more. Follow the channel on Twitter at Chelsea Perspect, that's CHELSEAPERSPECT, and YouTube at Chelsea Perspective for more. Welcome back to Football Chatter on the Perfect Hat-Trick podcast, where we talk about random, massive topics about football and just, you know, have a random kind of discussion about them, talk about key talking points, analyse them a little bit, you know, just have a laugh, but mainly let's talk about these football topics. I'm obviously joined today by the co-host of the podcast, FC Arvin B1. Yes, Arvin, how have you been in these last 2 months?
Well, we've taken a huge break, haven't we, from the Euros. It was much needed, but obviously now the new season's kicked off, you know, lots of things to talk about, you know, lots of things to look forward to. So a Champions League draw tomorrow, so let's get into it.
Very interesting watching, you know, Champions League draw, didn't ask. Anyways, let's talk about something really random today. Arsenal have just beaten West Brom 6-0. West Brom just played a really high line in that game, and I mean, what the hell happened in that game?
Well, I mean, since they played the under-23s, basically played the under-23s anyway, West Brom weren't really expecting much throughout the game. Obviously, Arsenal, you know, Arteta building his strongest 11 to prove a point. I don't know who he's trying to prove a point to, you know, just the fact that it was 6-0 and Aubameyang scored, Lacazette scored, Saka scored, Pepe scored. Just the fact that it was, oh yeah, so convincing or whatever, Aubameyang scored a hat-trick. But to be honest, I don't see much improvement from, you know, what happened. Obviously, they were actually under Kosh the first 25 minutes to West Brom under 23s. I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, honestly, my take is I don't care. But if I was talking about that game personally, what were West Brom actually doing? Like, generally, Chelsea played against that Valerian Ismail Barnsley last season a few times, and it was class. But in this game, this is not going to be good for the young players, you know, putting out all these, you know, against the superstars. It's just going to be traumatised, in my opinion. And he's just, you know, taking a big dent in their careers, in my opinion. And I just don't understand why they play such a high line against players like Saka, Pepe and Aubameyang. I don't really understand that. But yeah, Arsenal 6-0 win. People think that this is going to be countless amounts of Arsenal fans out there who were saying they want Arteta in after the 6-0. You just know, like, AFTV Ty and Julian and Alfie Pate, if you're listening, you're all going to be so gassed about this win. But, oh, nah, it was honestly a joke.
Yeah, I mean, I have to totally agree, to be honest. And the fact that, obviously, the way they played against Chelsea as well, I mean, everything they did good today just stemmed from Saka. And I can't agree with something like that. And especially, like, as for me, obviously, Chelsea, Bayern, me and you, we know that when young players come through, that they're not exactly don't hop into the starting 11 straight away, whereas Emil Smith-Rowe, you know, Saka, if you were to name the Arsenal team sheet, they would be on the first seven, whereas, you know, there's no one to guide them. It just doesn't make sense putting all this pressure on young players to, you know, Saka. It's just not going to be good for the rest of their careers. And I mean, yeah, it's shambles, honestly. Arteta out. I know a lot of your Arsenal fans out there, you know, Alfie Pate saying Arteta in, but honestly, this guy is finished. He's done.
And let's not forget, without Smith Rowe today, they won 6-0. So maybe, just maybe, Smith Rowe was catalyst to the eighth place finishes at Arsenal. And you never know, man. No, I'm just joking. He's a great player. But what I'm saying is, Smith Rowe, I feel like, is very, he needs to be involved in most attacks. But when they have kind of a fluid front four, you know, it does look a lot better. And today, if they play this exact 11 against Man City, I think they could rip through Ruben Diaz quite easily, to be honest.
What? Yeah, but I mean, obviously you say that, but then West Brom under 23s and then the way they played against you, I mean, Lukaku is just, I mean, yeah, City don't have a true number nine, but Jesus Christ, what have you got? Grealish, you got Foden, you got De Bruyne all running at you. Nah, that's against Rob Holding as well. Like, his hairline's gone. That's how scared he is of the City defence. I'm not even joking.
I don't know if you've seen his hairline. He's actually shaved it off, you know, because he's bald now. He shaved off most of his head, so he just looks like a nugget right now. Not like a,
Literally,
the
literally
nuggets who have no arms and
Rob
stuff, but he
Balding,
just
yeah.
looks like Rob Balding, exactly. Honestly, if I see a centre back who's balding, I'm just gonna think, he's stressed enough as it is, his hairline's gone back. I'm just gonna get up to him, get in his face, and his hairline's gonna recede as much as the defence. So that's how I'm kind of looking at it. Lukaku, that kind of goes on to Lukaku literally against Marion Holding.
Oh my God. Mari's been turned to a meme.
He is officially a
Actual
meme, and
meme.
I don't know how where Arsenal found Pablo. Honestly, I don't know where Arsenal found Pablo Mari, whether it was in the I don't even know the Rio de Janeiro Steakhouse, and they just pulled him out and saw him wear an Arsenal kit or something, and thought he was a good player, so I had to bring him back into the 11, or they just found him, in the Brazilian kind of church in London and decided to bring him in. I don't know where they found him, but he's definitely not meant to be on a football pitch, is he?
No, most of those Arsenal players are just not meant to be on football pitch. I mean, talk about Mohamed Elneny. I mean, oh my God, why is this guy still in Arsenal? At Arsenal, he went up since 2016 and he's still here. Like, what is he doing? What is he doing? And Pablo Mari, the entire defense. I mean, when you talk about summer signings that they made as well, 150 million just on potential players. How does that make sense? 150 million on potential players. So they're not gonna be up there, or bringing success at present time for about another 4 years or something. I just don't. And what Arsenal need is they need short-term solutions, and they're bringing in all these long-term. Just doesn't make sense. We got someone like Jerome Boateng out there, game on a free. I know his wage is big, but 31 years old, experienced. I'd be like Thiago Silva when he signed for Chelsea. Someone to lead the defense. That's what they need next to Ben White, not Gabriel Magalhaes next to. Whatever his name is, next to Ben White, I mean, he's just dead.
Oh, David Luiz. Everyone's saying David Luiz. I don't want to make the same mistake, but David Luiz was never a leader. Even at Chelsea, when he played, when something went wrong in the team, he was not the guy you look at to bring you out. He's just someone who screams out orders in the middle of the pitch and expects you to listen. And really, he's just kind of like your uncle who's kind of drunk and he's just kind of screaming out kind of commands to you, telling you to do this. Not this sounds really bad right now. Like an uncle when he's drunk, kind of tell you like, okay, I've dug myself a hole here, but
Oh wow.
we dig myself, we dig ourselves out, we move. But yeah, what I'm saying is, you just need a, you just need a, you they needed a leader. Like, I don't think Jerome Boateng personally, but Sergio Ramos was on a free this year. Just
Oh yeah,
saying.
because he's definitely going to move to Arsenal. Okay.
I mean, they have great houses in North London, so maybe he'd want to move there. But no, I just don't think there's the 150 million. Chelsea, when we were given that money last summer, even though it was much more, we built it on
Gotcha.
players who improved us. Like every single position improved us. Like they all made us a better team. Lokonga does not improve Arsenal. Ben White, does he improve? He was close to getting relegated with Brighton.
Well,
Aaron Ramsdale.
he could improve if it was a back three and Ramsdale's been relegated like what two times and Ødegaard, like people say he's been putting good performances in, but is he the short-term solution for Arsenal? Definitely not.
I don't think Odegaard is gonna improve them probably, but not to the level you want.
No, not to level to get top four. That's what I'm trying to say. The Arsenal fans won't be expect. Yeah, they can see progress under Arteta, and they will be because obviously Aubameyang's still what? Yeah, I mean he's got a hat trick. Fair enough, he's still a clinical striker. But to get top four or top six or just challenge anywhere near top four like Emery did, they're not going to get that for now another 2 years. That's my opinion.
Was Unai Emery the wrong man to sack at the time? Because yes, he got them 14th, but I thought he was building something quite good there.
I feel like the signings in the summer were a bit weird. I feel like obviously Pepe was a good signing, but I don't. 22 goals and 11 assists is unheard of for a player. But if it was Ligue 1 and someone who's so one-dimensional as he is nowadays, and all he does, like even sometimes when I was filming against West Brom, all they did was put him on his right, and he literally couldn't do anything. He just wanted to cut inside all the time. So 72 mil on him wasn't exactly a smart signing. What? Who else did they get? David Luiz. Was exactly a brilliant signing either, and plus Emery wasn't even looking to play in the back three, so David Luiz would have never gone protected at any point. So Unai Emery first season, yeah, with what he had, he performed miracles. But yeah, I don't know what happened after. Whether the players, I mean, it was a player's fault that they didn't get top four that season because they were just bottle jobs really. And people go back to this Crystal Palace game and say that the only reason why Emery bottled top four is because he started Elneny like. it was just one choice out of like 11 other players that was still the strongest.
I wonder who you're referring to there, as in the Elneny thing. Just a random kind of person. Yeah, we just obviously don't know who you're referring to there, but yeah, what I'm trying to say is the overall point, 20 million on the conga, and the same person is put out the statement saying he was captain of Anderlecht at 21. I literally didn't that generally didn't ask. Odegaard, he was not wanted at Real Madrid, simple as that. Danny Ceballos and Odegaard for me are in the same bracket. They were not wanted at a club like that. I'm going to compare this again to Chelsea. Hakim Ziyech was Atletico Ajax's best player by far. He won their Player of the Season award for 2 seasons in a row. Kai Havertz, you know what type of player he was at Leverkusen. Ben Chilwell, one of Leicester's main players. Thiago Silva, Edouard Mendy. Then you look at Lokonga, and you look at Odegaard, and you look at Ben White. Nah, it's just the business is awful. With 150 million, what I would have done if I was Arsenal is 20 million or so in Max Aarons. Yeah, first of all, Max Aarons, bring him in. Solid right back, solidifies around side. Or,
Tolisso,
Mazraoui.
10 million for Tolisso instead of Lokonga, who was 17 million.
Exactly, 10 million for Tolisso. Look at the forward options you could get. This is not forward, but you could get Sal Niguez on loan. I mean, that is a play. But the question is, do these players want to drop down into this level that
Yeah,
Arsenal are?
true.
That, but still, like, they're trying to say that they can't right now. I think what Arsenal's saying. They can't attract players right now who want to play Champions League football. So they're trying to attract, players that are good in the future when they can play it. Do you get what I mean? So in a few years, hopefully, when they reach the CL, they'll have players like Lokonga and White who've developed a lot. But right now, they cannot attract the Europe's best players. And that's definitely the difference between Arsenal and Chelsea. Chelsea, when we dropped into the. When we finished. Was it eight, ninth under Gus Hiddink and Jose Mourinho? We had
Oh
Conte
no,
come
it's
in.
tough.
And. Did we sign N'Golo Kanté, who was a Premier League winner and won the PFA Player of the Year for Leicester? We signed David Luiz from PSG. We
No, actually,
signed.
no. Your only real marquee signing that season was N'Golo Kanté, and he was enough to get you back to a Premier League win, a
Exactly,
Premier League
that's what I'm
title
saying.
win.
But then it also comes to the thing, which guy is going to come out there and think, which manager do I want to play under this season?
That's also, wait, hold on. Just before you make that point, also, like, most of that Chelsea team as well, when they finished 10th, most of them had won the title previous year before. So Conte looked at it and said, well, these players can't be that bad. So he switched it up. You got these, Chelsea players motivating. And if you put Conte at Arsenal, would they be doing the same things? No, they wouldn't, because Conte is an inspiring manager. You can see it from the touchline, his passion, everything. Arteta, what do you see from him? I don't know what you see from him. A nice beard, maybe, but that's about it.
Not even that, just a nice set of teeth and a
And a
very
bunch of
nice
cones where he
hairline.
should belong with bloody Guardiola. I'm not even
I'm
joking.
sure. I'm
Not
sure. I
manageable.
don't know how he's qualified. I just don't know. And I know this is harsh again. Frank Lampard at Chelsea. I was making this point earlier to one of my friends on the bus, and I was kind of saying, he signed 220 million worth of players we just mentioned. I know there was adaptation periods, there was ways to get the players, involved, and it took a while to embed them all into the team. There was a very short pre-season, but having a good team does not make you does not make you need a good manager to manage any team and get them out of a bad situation. The minute we brought in Thomas Tuchel in that Wolves game, there was I know people are gonna say I'm crazy. In the Wolves game, I saw literally so many differences. Our pressing was more organized, the system was, not isolating some of our slower players and some are bad players. He brought in some really good players who you can see now are being nominated to be UEFA, Player of the Years and stuff like that. So I just think maybe there's a talk if Antonio Conte comes in. I think Arsenal do have a good group right now. They have a decent group of players. Tierney, the starting 11, Tierney, Gabriel, Ben White. They sign a new right back. Burnley, this is a good group of players. Let's not be honest. Bamian, Saka, Odegaard, all these other kind of
Well,
players.
to be fair, all they really need is like a maybe a good enough right back for the Premier League, another a proper star in CDM. Well, for next season anyway, and maybe like a young striker because obviously, like I said, and Aubameyang and aging, and that's about it. And maybe another experienced centre back, but the problems are there to be seen. And signing Lokonga is actually so similar to Partey. Obviously, not in terms of quality, but in terms of playing styles. I don't know why you would sign him when you need a proper six. Yeah, Xhaka, you signed on a 5-year deal. That's only because you probably watched the France game and you saw, wow, he had that one good performance. But the fact is, that Switzerland have a better manager than what Arteta is. That's simple fact.
Thing is about Arteta, let's be honest, no Arsenal fan can say with their chest, honestly, that he's going to take them back to where they were under Arsene Wenger. Let's be honest. He can't attract good players. I don't know how he attracted Thomas Partey to swap Simeone for. He must regret that every day. Like, he must cry to sleep every night. I just don't know how anyone would want to play under him. And this brings back, if they want to build a team that everyone wants to be scared about, which is what Tuchel always says, they have no good players that want to come to their club. They have a poor system. There's nothing that can really dig them out. And the thing about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is he had great players before that, like Rashford, Martial, all these other players. He could build a team from that. They already are Champions League worthy players. And they've brought in, Varane, Sancho, because they finished good in the league. But I just don't see Arteta really getting anywhere with that team. And I just don't know how he still has his job. It's just like that. What's that guy, Jose Pedraza, like the teak duck thing. Like, when's he going to be sacked? Is it going to be, City game? I don't think so. Because this West Brom game, it's just going to save his job for like another month at least now. And this is what Arsenal fans expect. They expect their club to be, I don't know. They don't even think about this year. They're not even thinking about the season. They think, oh, in 3 years we have all these young players. We're going to finish in the CL places. But for these 3 years, this 3 year period, they're going to lose revenue by finishing eighth every season. Players are going to want to leave. They're going to, contracts are going to expire. Aubameyang, is he going to want to move away? He's 31 or something now. They have an aging squad at times in some positions, and the young players coming through aren't even good. And I'm compared to Chelsea again. We need players in positions. We're not the Chelsea of 2013. We are about to sign Jules Koundé from Sevilla. And that's not a random bum from a random league. This is a guy who 100% is going to be one of the best defenders in Europe very, very soon. And that's the different business model between the two teams. And I just think people kind of talk about Chelsea as being a money-grabbing team, but the only thing we do is we work well as a football club. We're not a business. We don't just work as in, let's sign players, let's just keep in a good, position. We want to keep building. Like, which teams have you seen that have won the Champions League and have gone out and strengthened in the positions they actually need with big, big money signings? I don't know. And this is completely off topic from Arsenal, but I just don't see anything really from Arsenal really to come in the future apart from, being carried by Saka, to be honest.
But there was, just to argue that point, I know I'm having the Arsenal rant here, and fair enough. But just to argue that point of Arsenal from before, obviously, because Stan Kroenke wasn't really putting money into the club, obviously, the only signings it did make, because before, obviously, there wasn't that many signings made. There was maybe one or two a year. That's why Arsenal fans got so frustrated. Only recent times have Stan Kroenke actually, invested. He's put the money in. He's back to Arteta with the money that he's given. But before that, there wasn't really much going on. The only way that they could make signings was through the revenue that they made, and obviously the sales, match tickets and stuff like that. So they were trying to do everything bad, but not the way that Chelsea do things, because I know that Abramovich obviously pumps a lot of money for the club due to success, but obviously having a owner like Stan Kroenke doesn't exactly help in the slightest.
Exactly, and you mentioned something about the outgoings there. Thing is about Arsenal, they haven't signed any assets in the past that they can really sell on in the future. And I'm gonna compare this to, oh, I'm just comparing it to Chelsea every time. It's so deep because the differences in the two teams. I don't know if you've seen Chelsea's net spend this summer overall. People think we've spent 97 million on a 28-year-old, but we've sold Mark Gerhey for 20 million, Tomori for 25 million, Abraham for 35 million, about to sell Zouma for 30
Wait,
million.
don't bring up another BR football report. It's just,
Oh no! Don't mention that. Don't.
don't mention it. Just say, yeah, you made about 137 million worth of sales, or 140, something like that,
Yeah,
something
some
like
people
that.
get triggered on football Twitter, not putting any names here, and someone will unfollow me as well. But yeah, what I'm saying is our club is built on net spend, and if you look at the net spend over the last 5 years, Chelsea actually have one of the lowest net spends in the big six, despite signing players. Even having massive L's in the transfer market in 17-18 was probably the biggest L any club in the Premier League's ever faced in the transfer market. And we still have a net, we still have a positive net spend, or just like 30 million negative. And you look at Man City, they have like 200 million. I don't remember Man City having any serious sales apart from Leroy Sané. So,
Oh, that
Arsenal
was
as well.
they don't even like 40 million from that. They basically bought him for what they sold him.
Exactly. So they didn't even really make money on that. So, you know, we're just writing about Arsenal here. But, you know, I just want to get this all off my chest about Arsenal. You know, the system they play as well. I just don't. I don't see anything. The only
No,
good thing I can say is just like having a 4-2. This is what I'd say they should do. They can not, no way in hell can Arteta play a 4-2-3-1 with attacking fullbacks. No way he can do that.
No.
There's no way he can play that. The only thing I would say he could do is do what Man United do, play with two DMs who literally just—I was gonna swear—literally just defend and allow the front four to attack. They can't even go forward. But I'm just struggling to see with Arsenal what can really be fixed right now. It's just an unfixable situation.
No, the thing. Well, I saw the West Brom game, and I saw Rob Holding at times. And what is he doing? There was times where he literally had no pressure on the ball. He still gave it away. At times, yeah, he did make some good passes. But Arsenal continuously try this thing where they try and try and try to play out from the back. And the thing that you said about the attacking fullback thing, the only way that you can play attacking fullbacks in a back four is if you play game pressing or if you play a high line. Doesn't work if you press the opponent. Otherwise, the fullbacks just have to stand still because there's no one to cover them apart from one CDM. That's all that Arsenal have. Even Xhaka, he's not exactly mobile, so he can't cover all that space. So I don't exact and you can't compress the opponent to one to being inside their half because they're not good at pressing. So what are they doing? I don't. The only thing that I can think of is go back to FA Cup 2020 low block. Stuff like that. That's what they're gonna have to do against City. They didn't do that against Chelsea for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, if you surely at half time, Arteta would have thought, okay, Mari's going up to Lukaku, which is what he wants. So just back off a few yards because Lukaku isn't exactly the best dribbler in the world. But no, there's no system change. There's no game management. There's nothing. Game management is a big thing. There's none of that at Arsenal. 100%, none of that.
Listen, when you see Chiarentini constantly being dragged out by Mason Mount, literally Mason Mount's job in that game, very underrated by the way, was to keep Tierney and Tierney? Tierney? Did keep was to keep Chiarentini inside. That was literally what his main job was in the game. And he did that role very well. And look how much space left for James. If I'm Arteta, what I'm doing then is keeping one of Mari and Holding, not tight to Lukaku, but marking him, putting one of the other centre backs on Mason Mount. Say it's Holding on Mari, then keeping Tierney on Reece James, and then Havertz can do whatever he wants. You know, Havertz, I don't think is he still could have had a lot of room. Maybe put one of the DMs on Havertz even to drop in. It's much easier to put a DM on him than have, you know, one of the fullbacks or, you know, play to a three at the back system. Who cares? Who cares if you haven't done it in over a year? Literally, I think this is going back to Frank Lampard in what year was it? 1920 when we were trailing 1-0 at the Emirates. We were having a three at the back system with Tomori kind of playing there. And
Yeah.
Lampard, literally in the 30th minute or something, he brought off Emerson for Jorginho and we won the game 2-1. And that is literally Frank Lampard, who's not the greatest manager. Arteta in that game, if he had any balls whatsoever in front of the fans, he would have taken off one of the strikers, one of the attackers, and made it into a three at the back system. Brought on Callum Chambers.
That's what I think. I don't think that Arteta necessarily the starting 11 that he puts out. I don't think he has a. I think what he wants to do is prove to himself or prove to someone that what he's trying to do works.
Yeah.
If he had the mindset to win, he'd do whatever it takes to win. Take someone off. If you're not playing, get off. That's what Pep. I've seen Pep Guardiola take players off in the 20th minute. I've seen what Tuchel took off Hudson-Odoi or something like that. Didn't he take off Hudson-Odoi? Yeah, you took. I've seen all the greatest managers, they make controversial decisions, but decisions that later on in the game, if they work, then it's, you know, that's the mindset they have. Whereas Arteta, if, you know, he knew that it wasn't working, so he could have taken it off, but no, he wants to prove to himself that this system works against Chelsea, but it clearly doesn't. And then the players get discombobulated and think, well, if the manager isn't really prepared to, you know, change something within the game, then I guess they have to take responsibility. But, you know, it partially falls on the manager. I mean, players can't make decisions to come off the pitch or whatever. They'll change themselves. No, that doesn't work. Arteta has to take responsibility, but he can't do that because this is his first bloody club. He has no experience.
I guess as standard Arsenal board for literally bringing him in. Literally, you're in 14th position with Unai Emery with a team that literally is a bottle job FC. and you bring in a manager who's a bottle job manager as well. Well, not a bottle job manager, but you go. I mean, he does not know how to adapt in different situations.
I'd say, if you would have sacked, wait, hold on. If you would have sacked Emery at the time, which is fair enough. I mean, yeah, he didn't get the greatest results in those 2 months, but you then bring someone or an experienced manager just to steady the ship.
Yeah.
Just steady the ship throughout the time so that you can then decide the next summer who to bring in as a proper manager. Not bringing Arteta. Mm. Arteta's an interim manager for that season. Yeah, I could have seen that working, but no. But for example, like Gus Hiddink to Chelsea, when he came to Chelsea, he just steadied the ship. He didn't get you to a brilliant position, but you know, ninth is where it's the highest you could have reached in that period. So just someone to steady the ship, maybe get a few good results here and there, and then get a proper manager at the end of the season. That's what Arsenal. There's just so many things that have gone wrong in this club, and we sound like FTV here, but it's true. It's just poor management.
We're better than FTV, and I'm just saying they should have gotten Ralph Rangnick on an interim deal, and I know that's unlikely. And it's just it's bad that simple things like this and fans like us can see it, but high up members in that damn board who are getting paid probably, you know, thousands of pounds a week, literally can't even see, you know, stuff like that. It's just frustrating. Also, I'm happy with Arteta staying. I don't care if he stays. And you know it's bad when it's got to the stage where rival fans want that manager to stay. They actually,
that's what happened under Wenger.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just don't want him to leave. I don't want him, because then if Arsenal got in Antonio Conte, I'd crap myself, because I know they're going to instantly get better. He's going to switch. Yeah. He's going to know what to do. He's going to... Do you know what Tuchel did when he came in? He switched to a five at the back, steadied the ship, and we won the CL, you know, title, and we've built on it now. If Conte came in, he'd easily put Tierney, you know, left centre-back, Tavares or Saka, left wing-back, easily make it a top four team, in my opinion. That's what he could do. So I want Arteta to stay for the next 10 years. That's what I want. But if I was an Arsenal fan right now, be honest, you know, be honest with, don't lie and try and back him because you've seen and you want to try and, you know, not take an L. You know me with the Frank Lampard situation. As soon as I saw things, enough was enough. And I don't care if he's a legend. I wasn't I probably have been disrespectful to him in private, but I was never disrespectful to him, you know, enough. I just said with my chest, Frank Lampard needs to be sacked as manager because this club is going to be a 10th place team by the end of the season, the way we're playing. I saw enough. The Man City game was enough, and it reminded me of the Chelsea-Arsenal game where it looked like a lost cause, and it just looked like there's nothing there for development. So, yeah, I think it's got to a brick wall for Arsenal right now, so if they can potentially get an interim manager, I don't even know if there's any interim managers out there at the minute. Would Zidane come on interim?
Conte's available. Zidane's not going. He's holding out for the France job after 2022 World Cup. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Ralph Rangnick is still out there. He's going to take the AC Milan job. I guess he could go in. He's actually not a bad manager to be fair. He was a catalyst for a lot of German coaches that are doing so well now. So yeah, bring him in potentially. But yeah, just Arsenal. Arsenal fans as well. I've heard a lot from one Arsenal fan specifically to say that, AFTV as well, wait for these players to come back. Do this, do that. It's still not going to get you anywhere. You're still going to, no matter how good the players are, if the system isn't right, and if the system doesn't suit them, unless you're, Bayern or something, and you can just rely on, world-class players, Arsenal don't have any. So if the system's not good, you're not going to do well.
The only thing that could save Arsenal is that guy from Pauli. You kept saying Mashallah. Honestly, he's the only hope right now, because he just kept saying Mashallah every minute. If he went in on the subs bench where the players were sitting, kept saying Mashallah every time, you know, Lukaku had the ball, he wouldn't have scored that goal and stuff like that. So that's the only thing that they can save. But it's so nice to see the Chelsea fan, because I get to watch AFTV, you know, every single week, and I get to see, you know, this lovely, 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 you know, football being played by Arsenal. But if if I was an Arsenal fan, I'm not looking for excuses, you know. I don't care. Arsenal are not about long-term success. They're not literally like a Brighton or a Wolves or something. That team needs, like, you know, success right now. And if they keep finishing out the top four season and losing big players that want to sign the contracts here, I think it's a matter of the time before they get to the Everton level, in my opinion, where they're just nowhere near the top four anymore. Players like
No,
teams like Chelsea, City, you know, yeah, you can go.
Everton's level is basically they always look like they're gonna challenge for top four, but then they never do. So yeah, that's essentially the Arsenal to be, or that's how Arsenal fans make it. They're saying, "Oh, we're gonna challenge for top four. We spend 150 million on potential players." It's just not gonna happen. And we all know, as well as Arsenal fans, that if the system, if just if you stick with Arteta, that's it. You're done as a club. You're finished. Well, you are already, but yeah.
There is a small hope that this season could turn around. Let's not pretend that there's not. They could. I know it was the under 23s, but they did play some, you know, decent football today, and you know they do look like they're okay.
Maybe
But yeah, I
if they
don't think
jam a
that.
1-0 against City and then people start raving up again. Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember the Man United game when they won 1-0 and then they went on like that 10
Yeah.
game losing run or something, and they
Yeah,
got
that's
relegated
it. Yeah,
once.
yeah.
That was so funny when like Xhaka put, you know, was it Ashley Westwood in the chokehold, and Aubameyang scored an own goal.
Oh, yeah.
That was the prime. That was actually the
Now,
great
so they
day.
had like what? They had Pepe, Xhaka, and Aubameyang sent off within like the space of 5 games or whatever. That's so
And
many
I
red cards.
recommend
And
anyone
then
to type in
Bellerin foul throws or something like that.
yeah, that was the best. And you know, I recommend everyone to go on YouTube right now, type in Troops TV Burnley v Arsenal. It is just like one of the best videos, and it's so fake, but I just love it. Oh, so good. But you know, guys, we've talked enough about I don't even know if you guys were listening to our Arsenal waffle there, but if you were listening, Arsenal very worrying, but you know they still could see the turn the season around. You know, Arvin, what are your opinions on this new kind of thing on the pod?
Well, I mean, it's a bit more, it's a bit less structured than what we did in the Your Only Fans, but you know what, it was a good conversation. Obviously, Arsenal, many things to improve on. I would say there's hope for you, but with that clown of a manager, there's definitely not. Get Conte in, do something. Arsenal fans, you know, will force your agenda to Arteta out. Troops, do your thing. Yeah, just come back to England and maybe, you know, hold up then banners again. Arteta out. You know, thanks for the memories of, you know, 1 year FA Cup, but it's time to change. But yeah, whatever, just do your thing. But
I was gonna
yeah,
say it's
Arteta
time to
out.
go, but you know that's a bit disrespectful. But let's be honest, it is time to go. Let's be frankly honest. And AFTV is crumbling by the day, losing more and more members, and you know who they lost now? They lost someone else. They've lost a lot of members. Jeez, that channel is
Yeah.
toxic. They lost AFTV Mo, bloody what do you call
I
him?
am Mo.
They lost Claude a long time ago. Well, not like that. They lost Claude, you know, because of the Son situation. They lost DT taking a break now. And now I look at their YouTube channel, they're doing live streams with like Turkish and Lee judges. So, yeah, it's not great. But,
To be
yes,
fair, Lee
guys.
Judge is
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best one. He is the best
Yeah.
one
Oh,
by
yeah.
a long range.
And Troops is doing his thing in where is it?
I'm just saying,
Oh, yeah, fast.
that channel is not growing. And he should never have left. But he must be getting a lot of money from that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But
Rubbish
yeah,
segment of my
guys,
stuff.
let's wrap this up. I do have to get up quite early tomorrow, so and I hope you enjoyed. And yeah, make sure you guys check out Chelsea Perspective, as you heard at the start of the kind of podcast advert. And yeah, make sure you check out, it's a great channel, great football channel for Chelsea kind of content. Great different episodes like scouting for Chelsea, stuff like that. And yeah, just check the channel out. But I hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a nice day.